Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you're a procurement professional at the University of California, you're going to want to listen closely. Today, we are digging into the brand new UCBUS 63 risk matrix, the one dated September 19, 2025. This thing is a game changer for insurance requirements.
It really is. And our mission today is pretty straightforward. We want to get you comfortable using this new framework to classify contract risk, you know, high, moderate, or low. And most importantly, how to instantly tell which contracts need you to collect a certificate of insurance, a COI, right up front.
Right. And that's the big takeaway here, isn't it? This whole matrix was created to, well, to cut down on your administrative workload. The huge shift is this. You only have to collect COIs for high-risk contracts now. That's it.
Exactly. For anything low or moderate risk, that whole process changes. It's no longer a mandatory collection. It's just available upon request.
Okay, so let's unpack the logic. The matrix is all about standardization, getting everyone on the same page.
It is. It assigns a risk level based on a clear list of risk exposures. The goal is consistency across the whole UC system, which, you know, is vital.
So what's the one rule we have to remember? What's that line in the sand that triggers the mandatory COI?
It's the C through K trigger. They made it, incredibly simple. If the contract involves any single one of the risk exposures from C all the way through K, you just stop. The entire contract is automatically classified as high risk, period. And COI collection is absolutely required. That's the golden rule.
Okay, let's talk about those C through K triggers because I can see some of these tripping people up. Let's start with C, digital risk. What does that mean here?
So for C, it's considered high risk if the supplier is accessing, say, P3 or P4 data. That's really sensitive stuff. Or if they get a high or critical score on their vendor risk assessment.
Got it. And what about the others? What are some of the big ones?
Well, D is physical safety or security risk. Think construction, hazardous materials, security guards on campus.
Right. Obvious high risk.
Then you have E, professional services, though, medical, legal, engineering. G is for any international business. J is a big one, financial assets.
Financial assets like handling cash?
Exactly. Handling cash, accessing bank accounts, revenue sharing agreements, and CRAE is transportation, like busing students or faculty.
So if the contract is just in categories A and B, which are low or moderate digital risk, or it's an activity that's just not on that C to K list, we skip the upfront COI.
Correct. You don't collect the COI, but, and this is important, the contract itself must still have a clause that says the supplier will provide a COI immediately if UC asks for it.
So knowing that rule C through K means collect, how do we actually do this day to day? It seems like a pretty simple three-step check.
It is. One, check the digital risk first. You might need the separate digital risk matrix for that.
Yeah.
Two, you complete this general risk matrix.
Yeah.
And three, you make the call. If you hit anything from C to K, you collect that COI.
Okay, and this brings up a point that I think can be confusing. It's about the activity, not the dollar amount of the contract.
Yes. This is a critical point. The risk exposure is always, always based on what the vendor is doing, not how much you're paying them.
Right, so you could have a massive $1 million hardware purchase. That's probably low or moderate risk. No COI needed upfront.
Exactly. But then you could have a tiny $500 contract where a vendor is handling cash at a campus event. That's exposure J. It's instantly high risk. And you absolutely need that COI. The activity is what matters.
Now, here's an interesting detail. This guidance comes from the Office of the President. It sets the standard for the whole system. But the matrix document itself says the final call on risk is up to the local risk management office.
And that emphasis on local expertise is probably the most important part of this whole process for you, the person doing the work. Every campus has its own specific procedures. And your local risk managers, they have the final authority. They can make case-by-case exceptions.
Like waiving a requirement or maybe adjusting insurance types for an international partner who does things differently?
Precisely. So the clear instruction, the bottom line for the whole UC system is this. If you have any questions, any at all, you go to your local risk management office first. They're your primary contact.
So to wrap it all up for everyone listening, it sounds pretty simple. You only need to collect COIs for contracts that hit those high exposure C through K categories.
And you always, always defer to your local risk manager for the final say, especially if a contract feels like it's in a gray area.
Perfect.
And here's a final thought to leave you with. The matrix itself, it's intentionally not a formal appendix to the policy. It's a living document. It can be changed pretty quickly based on feedback. So the real question is, what insights or maybe corrections will you, the procurement teams out there, discover as you start using this new, much simpler framework every day? That feedback is what will make this whole system even better.